Hallelujah. Praise God. I forgot to announce this, but Friday we close on the Olean building.
Amen.
Amen. So we'll get in there and go over what needs to be done and hopefully get in there by no later than the beginning of September. And so that's exciting. That building is, I know this in the spirit realm, that building is integral in the growth of that church. You know, we have a good solid core out there, but we don't do any advertising. We're kind of off the beaten path. For those of you that have never been there, it's in an old warehouse, and this building's really going to help us. It's more in Olean, and so we're excited about that. And, you know, a lot of the things that happen in Olean, this church will get the credit for them, because without this church, Olean Church would never even be in existence. And people are so faithful to give here. You know, Pastor Michael had a vision concerning a church in South Dayton years ago, and the thing that the Lord told him was that there was a great door in Effectual that would be for this church, and a great door of opportunity. And isn't it amazing that in one of the smallest towns in Cattaraugus, this church was responsible for starting a church in the biggest city in Cattaraugus County, Olean. Isn't that amazing? Who'd have thought? You know, I mean, people are so faithful to give. God blesses people here. We're able to start a whole other church. And I'll tell you what, the people there are eternally grateful for the giving and the prayers and the faith of this church, because without it, that wouldn't be in existence. Amen? So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, go with me to Luke chapter 12. In verse 6, praise God, praise God. We're in the right place at the right time, aren't we?
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, let's pray, and then I want to say something here. Father, we just love you so much. We're so grateful and so thankful for your word. Father, we're going to be people of the word of God. We're not going to stray from the word, no matter if it's popular, unpopular, whether it's convenient or inconvenient, whether people enjoy it or don't enjoy it. Father, we're going to stick with the Bible. Because, Father, I believe it's your word. I believe it's truth from heaven. And so help us say what needs to be said tonight. Lord, speak through me. People here with different needs, different circumstances, different situations and questions. But Father, the whole message will bless them because it's all going to be the Bible. But we go through different seasons in life, Father. So speak something through me that hits a chord right in the season that they're going through. And help them, Father. Speak to them. Lord, that it'll be a sign unto them that you love them and care for them, but Father, that this is a place where they can come and hear from heaven. And we'll give you the praise and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this message tonight, I'll let you in. I want to let you in on a little secret, if that's okay. And kind of a little behind the scenes with your pastor and praying and seeking God. I was preaching a totally different sermon last night in Olean. And I said something in that sermon. And the only way I can really describe it is like when I said it, you ever seen like a mountain climber, but they're climbing the side of a mountain that is maybe just snow or ice, and they got those things where they stick them in, and then they stick them in, they pull them out, and they stick it in again. Well, that's like when I said that in the spirit realm, it was like that's what happened. It's that statement stuck with me that I said last night. I thought that was interesting, you know, that sometimes that kind of stuff happens. It jumped out of my heart. I woke up this morning, and I was praying like normal, and took my dog for the walk, and was praying, and the Lord started speaking to me about what I said last night and developing the message for today. And I believe this message for tonight, it's almost like going to be like a treat for the people that are actually faithful to come to Wednesdays, or if, you know, if they can't be here, or if, you know, they miss or traveling out of town, work comes up, the people that actually go online and listen to what their mail is, you know. And because, you know, a lot of people just goes in one ear out the other. I mean, there's people that just won't ever come. They don't ever catch up on the service. It's just the way it is. And they don't listen to a word I say about it, you know, and they miss out and they go without. And that breaks my heart. Listen, when we don't come, it's not the fact that you not being here or not listening to your mail that God's angry with you or upset with you, or that pastor's mad or upset with you. I know my heart is, I'm sad for people. My heart hurts for people. God's heart hurts for people. He already loves you as much as he's ever going to love you. And I'm going to love on you just as much whether you come once a week or once every day. You know, I'm going to love you the same. But it's interesting about visitations in our appointments with God. Let me give you an example of what I mean by that. So I know I'm supposed to share this message tonight. And as a pastor, Wednesday nights are interesting for me because we no doubt get less people on a Wednesday night than we do Sunday mornings. It's just It is. Now, we've grown Wednesday night. It's been great, and I'm thankful for the people that come. But we get less, and there's, you know, I don't do things by any, many, mighty, mo in the Bible. I truly seek God to hear what He wants me to share, and even when I see things in the church that need to be adjusted, I'll ask Him. I'll say, Lord, can I share on this? And sometimes He'll say yes, and sometimes He'll have me do a sermon, and then you've heard me preach before and say, man, I had this sermon prepared, ready to go a month ago, 2 months ago. Well, I just wait for a green light because I just don't feel smart enough naturally to help people, but with the Holy Ghost, I do. Amen. And so I seek God on it, but here's the thing is when you prepare on Wednesday nights as a pastor and you get things from heaven, the immediate thought goes, man, I wish everybody in the church could hear that. I wish the majority of the church could hear that because I know the majority of the church needs that. And so at times, I've learned to stop doing this because I've only had Him, I believe, ever in 7 years tell me I could do this, where I changed from Wednesday what I was supposed to share on Wednesday. I said, Lord, can I please share that Sunday? It's only happened, I believe, twice. It might only have been one time. It's been so few. But I'll ask Him, Lord, I want to share that Sunday. I want to share that to people Sunday because I want everybody to get it. And I did it with this message. I said, Lord, I want to tell that to people on Sunday. And what's interesting about our visitation appointments is the Holy Ghost specifically and directly said, no, that's for tonight. Which tells me that people that don't avail themselves to their visitations and appointments with God, they will go without. It is not God's job to try to get things into your life. People say, well, that's not very compassionate and merciful of God. What if someone can't be here on a Wednesday? There's no reason why in 2017, every single person can at least catch up by live stream. You say, well, I don't have internet at home. No, but McDonald's has Wi-Fi, and I'm sure you're... And people could, if you wanted it bad enough, someone could record the message for you and get it to you. There's just ways to get it if we wanted it. Amen is what I'm trying to say. But what's interesting is God said, no. No. And so that means that people that will never avail themselves to this service tonight, didn't come, which, you know, sometimes people just can't help that, but we could catch up on them, right, by live stream or on the archive. If they never avail, they're not going to get what God had for them. That's right. And what's interesting is, I don't know when He'll have me share this again. Who knows? And it's just amazing to me. People say, well, that's not very compassionate of God. No, the compassion of God was, first of all, to tell the pastor to share it, and also to already put this stuff in the Word and tell people they need to be in their appointments through the Word and through the pastor. That was the compassion of God. And then it's up to the people to avail themselves to their feeding times. But I thought that was interesting. That revelation hit me like, wait a minute. I've tried to take a message on a Wednesday and put it to a Sunday. And how many times He tells me, no, it's for tonight. How many people are going to go without? That shows the importance of you making it to your appointments. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the doctor or the dentist, they don't track you down. Their office might call and say, where were you? You know, you're going to get penalized. You do that again, we're going to take you off the list or whatever. But they don't, the doctor's not, hey, knock it on your door. Hey, here's you know, this or whatever. He expects you to come to Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So anyways, I believe this is a treat tonight for people that come. The Word always is, but this is just kind of a little special personal type thing for people. For people that come and actually take the pastor serious about visitations from God. So Luke chapter 12 and verse 6 is the verse I want to read here tonight in verse 7. It says, verse 6, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Now this is what I want, where I want to go in the direction, and I'll tell you what I had mentioned last night in the service that birthed this message. You know, when it comes to faith, I believe we have a serious church. I believe we have a church, especially, you know, nothing against people that just come Sundays, because I get it. Some people can't come on Wednesdays. I understand that. I hope that there's people that can't come Sundays that catch up on Wednesdays. I believe that there is. But I believe we have hungry people in this church that, you know, really want the Word of God. You know, and I believe that's why we see lots of turnover at time, because we see that principle in the Bible, you know, at times that people, the Word's going to be a little much for them, and it's tough for them to receive. But I believe, for the most part, we have people that really want the Bible, that really want God's Word, no matter if it steps on their toes, you know, gets up under their chin and things like that. And so I believe that when, you know, we talk about praying for miracles, signs, and wonders, when I believe that last week, you know, when I got that word of knowledge concerning that we need to be praying for the president. Remember that after service? There was something it on my heart. We prayed that out. I said, man, let's pray 5-10 minutes a day for the president in tongues. If you haven't been doing that, I'm telling you, that's still on my heart strong. We need to be doing that as a church. Setting aside 5-10 minutes to pray in the spirit for the president and for this nation. And so I believe that people really take that seriously. I believe people really are doers of the word here. And I believe when it comes to faith, I believe that we are super confident when it comes to faith concerning things that we deem important, you know, things like miracle signs and wonders, things like praying for your pastor, things like believing God for the money for the parking lot, things like believing God for the harvest, things, you know, important things, laborers going forth and the ministry getting things done and what we call serious things. I believe we're serious about faith or what you call kingdom things. But I think sometimes where maybe our faith gets backed off a little bit and God doesn't want our faith to get backed off is what about when it comes to stuff that just pertains to us? As individuals, like, you know, we're big on, you know, well, let me just tell you where this came from. Last night I made mention of, last night's service in Olean was the second part of the confession service that we had last Wednesday here. And I had made the talked about the Ohio connection to the Midwest and the hunting that I got by following the Holy Ghost and how I was confessing for a place to hunt in the Midwest. And then God led me to that by following the Holy Ghost and that confession came to pass. And you know, what made me say that was what got me over the edge and what pushed me to actually have the faith to reach out and ask God for something that in the grand scheme of the world, in the grand scheme of the kingdom of God and ministry, has really no bearing and no effect and really nothing really significant in what we would call important stuff. But yet I got a revelation that caused me to ask him and to press in for something that just specifically pertained to me, and I got it, praise God, in a supernatural way, hallelujah. And so what about things that are important to us as individuals? Because tonight, you know, again, we got to prove everything by the Bible. If God's just about kingdom business, if God's just about the serious stuff, if God's just about that, then we'll stick with that. But if there's things in here that God says he wants to bless you personally, that he wants to meet the desires of your heart, that he wants to just put a smile on your face with things that you personally might enjoy that maybe I wouldn't, or maybe your neighbor wouldn't, or your spouse wouldn't. If God wants to do that, if there's things in there for that, then we should talk about those things too. Amen. Why leave any part of the Bible out? And again, this is all spirit-led because I didn't know where we were going tonight. And even when I got that in my spirit last night when I said that, because I mentioned what made me finally ask God, and that stuck in my spirit, and then this morning it just came to pass. So I want to help you tonight to push you over the edge with the same thing that shoved me over the edge to made me realize that God wants those kind of things for me. And it's okay to put my faith on those things. And I don't have to apologize for them, and neither do you, praise God. Hallelujah. So it's like a treat, you know. Maybe you're here tonight and you know, you're big on, I could put my faith towards the kingdom growing and pastor being safe and utterance and boldness and people being born again and miracles, signs and wonders. But what about if you're believing God for a spouse? What about if you're believing God for a better vehicle? What if you're believing God for a better home? What if you're believing God for a new wardrobe? What if you're believing God for a vacation? What if you're just believing God for these things that we consider not as important and we maybe put them off to the back burner, off to the side, because our hearts are right? But, you know, we don't have to believe for miracles, signs, and wonders at the expense of believing for a trip to Ohio.
Wow, that's good.
Right? And I don't have to put my faith on a trip to Ohio and believe God for that and yet be less serious about miracles, signs, and wonders and the harvest and the kingdom growing either. I don't know why. Sometimes we get into extremes as Christians. One or the other. Why does it have to be one or the other? Why can't it be both? Amen? It's kind of like we talked about on Sunday about what the Bible says about what God's view is of money in the minister. Why can't the minister care about the poor and still drive a nice vehicle? Why can't the minister live in a nice house and still care about the hungry that are over in other countries? Why can't it be both? Why do we have to pick and choose? There's enough money to go around. When God made the world and the resources on planet Earth, he made it so everybody could live in abundance and provided for. There's enough money to go around. Praise God. The majority of the world's wealth is held by few people. in comparison to number of people. Amen? Hallelujah. So we're going to help you tonight with some of these things. So are you ready? Those things that maybe you've been afraid or maybe felt guilty for, of stepping out and saying, you know what, I would like better clothes. I would like better shoes. You know, there's a purse I'd like, you know. Hey, there's a vacation I'd like to take my family on. Hey, there's a better car, or an addition to my home, or whatever you're believing God for. You say, you know what, and your mind's been telling you, in this day and age, you know what, those things aren't important. And we're going to show you tonight, they're important to God. Amen? He wants to see you blessed. So we'll just look at the Word. Go to Matthew chapter 7. So I'm going to show you the things. What actually made me. Because I'll be honest with you, if you want to know the truth, you know why I never asked God for a connection to the Midwest? Because I thought it was selfish. Because my mind was bombarded with, wait a second, why would I want to put my faith on that? There's way more important things. But then I got a revelation of what the Word said, and it caused me to act different. Amen? Amen. That's what happens when you get a revelation of the Word. When you renew your mind to the Word, things change. So I'm going to show you the things. So I want you to think tonight. What are those things that are in the back of your mind that, oh boy, you'd love to see that. That's a desire of your heart. You'd love to experience that. But you've been afraid to ask God. You've been afraid to jump out and say, Lord, I'm going to believe you for that. Well, for whatever reason, you know. You didn't think God was interested in it. The devil made you feel guilty. The devil made you feel bad about it. People made you feel bad about it. Well, let's just renew our mind to what the Bible says. And this is a treat from heaven tonight. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Look what the Bible says. Ask. And it'll be given unto you. Look at God telling you right off the bat. He's saying, just ask me. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. And he that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. Now, he's telling you and inviting you, come to me. I want to give you some things. Now, you might go to your religious mind and think, well, yeah, but he must just be talking about spiritual things. He doesn't put a qualifier on it. He just says, ask me, praise God. And then look what it says in verse 9. He goes on to make it even clearer of what he's talking about. He says, what man is there among you? So he's talking to a group of people. He said, if his son would ask for bread, would he give him a stone? There's no good parent that would do that. Or if he asked for a fish, would he give him a serpent? If you then being evil. Now remember, he just talked about these evil parents as good natural parents. No good natural parents can give their kid a bad thing. He said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more, everybody say, how much more? Now, what's the context? Gifts. Gifts. Not spiritual necessities, gifts. Because it talks about a natural parent giving gifts to his children. I don't just give Caleb exactly what he needs. I give Caleb exactly what he needs and exactly what he wants and exactly what he would enjoy. Amen? No, not all, you know, there's spoiling. You got to be careful of that. You understand what I mean? He doesn't get whatever he wants. You don't understand what I mean by that. But I don't just give him, well, you know, I'm just going to give him just his needs. His toy room's going to be empty. Not going to have any special blessings for him. We're just going to stick with his need. No. He said, he said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, well, as a parent and the parents we have here, you know how to give good gifts to your children. You give them necessities, but you also give them gifts. But he says, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good, here it is now, things to them that ask him? Well, again, those things there, there's no qualifier. He doesn't say, I'll just give you the spiritual things you're asking for. I'm not just going to give you the necessities for the kingdom that you're asking for and to make you so you're just more spiritual. No, he's talking in context. It's important with biblical understanding the Bible and defining the Bible. Context is huge. What's the context? The context is a natural parent blessing a child, and God says he's a how much more God to give you things. Amen. To him that ask him. So maybe, just maybe, that thing that's been there, that's been that desire, that maybe the devil's been telling you, oh, you'd never have the money for that. But see, when God gets on the scene, the money's not a problem. It's kind of like when God tells me to do something in life, I don't check and consult the checkbook to see if it's possible. Now, there might not be anything in the checkbook, but my point is, if God said it, the money will come. Now, you have to be careful with the prosperity doctrine, and this is where you'll know when people get in the ditch. And the ditch of prosperity tells people, go out and spend any money you have. And the money. No, I'm talking about Spirit-led things. If God tells me to do something ministry-wise or tells me to do something in my natural life, if I know I have the Word of God, it's kind of like when the Lord spoke to me that the house we're living in is our house. I knew the money wasn't in the checkbook. But it wasn't the money in the checkbook that got it done. That's my point, is what I'm saying. And so maybe you've been told, oh, you'll never have that because you have a desire for something. But the money. Oh, I could never think of going on a vacation. I'll never be able to take my kids to so-and-so because of the money. Why are you worried about the money? We serve a big God. And maybe you've been afraid to go out in faith because the devil's told you about the money. Or maybe you've been afraid to go out because the devil's told you that's selfish. That's not important in this day and age. Well, it's important to God. He tells you to ask Him for what? Good things. Praise God. I love the fact. Now, God tells us, He always uses natural examples to illustrate spiritual things. I love, so it's not twisting or going too far to use a natural parent and a child as an example, because that's what God is saying. And whatever you can see in a natural good parent with a child, just know He's a how much more God. I love the fact that my kids come to me boldly when they want something. See, Abby, it's like, I don't even know what to say. Speechless. I'm not kidding. I mean, it's relentless. Abby has a running list. She sees something. Put that on the list, Mom. Put that on my list, Dad. Her list is huge. Everything's put it on the list. No shame at all. I want that. I want that. I want that. I want that. No shame at all. Now, of course, at times, you're not going to have that. No, that's not going to work. But the point is, she knows we're a safe haven to be able to come and tell Mom and Dad. And let me tell you something. If she wants it bad enough, and I know it's important to her, I'm going to get it for her. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm not going to spoil my children, but again, if I just went by everything she put on her list and every time she said she wanted something, we'd be in trouble. But I know that that's just her nature and her age at times, but I know the things that she keeps coming back to, the things that she keeps bringing up, the things that she points out that are the same every time she walks by the toy section at Walmart or sees something on TV, those things that she keeps on, I know that's important to her. And guess what? Because it's important to my little girl, it's important to her daddy. And how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to you when they're important to you? Praise God. Hallelujah. I enjoy it. I love doing that for them. And so do you, parents that are out there. Go to John 16:24. John 16:24. These are the things that pushed me over to actually say, Lord, you know what? I would desire a place in the Midwest to hunt. And I got it. I put my faith on it, and faith makes God move. And God had no problem giving that to me. Praise God. John 16:24. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're His children, for crying out loud. My kids, your kids, they live blessed lives. Why? Because they have good moms and dads, praise the Lord. We like doing things for them. He says in go to verse 23. I'm sorry, Lynn, if you drop down to verse 23, that'd be good to read that one too. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father. Now, what's that word? Whatsoever. Well, that's spiritual things, but that's also vacations. That's also a purse. That's also clothes. That's also a new car. That's also a nicer home. That's also a wardrobe. That's also a pet. That's also a spouse. That's also a child. That's a whatsoever, ladies and gentlemen. He says, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. Verse 24, what kind of stuff? Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. God's telling you, ask me for things that will fulfill your joy tank. That will make your joy tank get to the top. Amen? And I'm just going to tell you, call me carnal, call me unspiritual, but as a hunter, It was in the hunting world. Now, in the grand scheme of life, no, my joy is not low, and I'm not being discontent, and I'm not walking around disappointed and not praising God and using my faith. But in what I like to do for recreation, which we'll look at some of those things here tonight and point some verses out that will help get that guilt off of you and that condemnation off you for actually enjoying things in life. We don't need to be so spiritual we're no earthly good. Amen? But as I was thinking about that during hunting, I thought, man, you know what? If I was really to measure my joy tank, I like hunting around here. It's great. But my joy would be way more full if I had a connection to hunt the bigger bucks. Amen. Well, I got a revelation that he said I could ask him for my joy to be full. And so I did. Praise God. This verse just knocked me right over the edge. Praise God. So he's inviting you concerning your personal joy. And let me help you, husbands and wives. Don't get down on the other spouse because of what their personal joy is. Amen? She likes shopping in purses. But you know what? She wants to put her faith on that. She wants to believe God for those things. Fine. Caleb likes to do things that I never liked to do as a kid. I really wasn't into Legos. Mom might say, oh, you know, that's not what I did as a kid. No, that's his joy. We'll get him Legos. Amen. Husbands and wives, don't listen. If it's important to your spouse, it ought to be important to you. Amen. Don't put your dictatorship all over that. Come on now. I'm preaching real good up here, man. I'll tell you. I'm helping y'all. Hallelujah. But he's inviting you concerning your joy. So you can have your joy full, whatever it is. Praise God. So that's number one. Go to number two here. Number two, go to Romans 8 and verse 32. Just trying to help you, push you over the edge, these things you're believing God for. He wants them for you. You know, when my child, when I do things for my children, man, I can't wait for them to open it. I can't wait for them to play with it. It's almost like it brings me more joy than it brings them. Yeah. Your father wants to see you blessed. Your father wants to see you taken care of. Hallelujah. And so think about this now in terms of our visitation. Think of the countless people that will never hear this message. That didn't come tonight. Now, if they didn't come tonight, might be working or out of town, but that didn't catch up with our archives or live stream. And that mail was sitting in their mailbox that would give them permission to put their faith on something that they've been desiring and wanting for years. And they'll still go on day to day with the guilt, the condemnation, and the fear to even ask for it. Our visitations are important. Amen. Hallelujah. Number two, what pushed me over the edge? Romans 8:32 says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? You know what pushed me over the edge was the fact that I got a revelation that a hunting connection in the Midwest, something completely personal to me and enjoyable for recreation to me, and I actually, honestly, if you want to know the truth, I actually believe there is some spiritual benefit to doing things you enjoy and to having the fun in the natural. I believe there's times of refreshing and times of recreation that we need. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Even from your jobs and stuff. Absolutely. But anyways, in the grand scheme of things, when thinking about people being born again and stuff, for what people would say, it's not that important. But what pushed me over the edge to ask was, number one, about the father-son relationship. But number two, I got a revelation that a hunting connection in the Midwest was included in the word all. I had a revelation that that counted as all. And what does it say? How shall he not freely give us all things? The home, the purse, the wardrobe, the spouse, the car. The child, whatever you want, whatever's your desire, is an all thing. Amen. You know, it's crazy. A group of scholars got together, and they did an extensive study, breaking down the Greek, breaking it all down, words, the letters in the word all, just breaking it down to find out what does that word mean. And you know what they found after their long, they labored, you all know I'm being sarcastic up here now, they labored and labored. What does the word all mean? And you know what they found out it meant? All. Praise God. Listen to what the message says. If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our conditioning and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son. Is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? You hear about other people taking their kids to so-and-so and you think, oh, I wish I could do that. Why can't you? Faith can make it come to pass. Oh, I see other people talking about their new vehicle. I'll never have a new vehicle. Why won't you ever have a brand new vehicle? You think a brand new vehicle is too hard for your father? Come on, ladies and gentlemen. It's just a piece of metal on rubber. That's what vehicles are. Well, the new Fords are aluminum. Is aluminum metal? Aluminum's a metal, isn't it? Steel. Chevys are on steel. I don't know which Ford, Chevy, Dodge. I don't know which you are. Whatever you like. But anyways, it's just a hunk of something on metal, on rubber, right? Why? That, when I was believing God finally for years, you know, I drove vehicles that hardly made it to the place I need to go. And finally, I had that revelation. I would start driving by a brand new car lot, so renew my mind, say, all that, there's so many of those in the world. Why is it so hard for God to bless me with one of them? Yeah. I had to renew my mind to it. Yeah. I'll never have the house of my dreams. Why? He'll freely give you all things. He already gave you Jesus. Is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for you? Come on, people. We got to renew our mind to his goodness of how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. Now, again, we're not saying don't believe God for the spiritual things, but it's okay to add this in. He invited us to do it. Praise the Lord. My goodness. Oh, I see how so-and-so dressed. I sure wish I could have a shopping spree with clothes. Never happened for me. Well, if you keep talking like that, it's not going to. You need to renew your mind to the fact that that's what God would want. Now, here, let me just say this to you, too. Because sometimes, and I'm not thinking of any certain person here, but I know this happens in churches. Sometimes people have a spouse that's not so excited about the things of God, and maybe their mind's not renewed to the generosity and the love of God, and you think, well, I'll never be able to do that because of my husband, never be able to do that because of my wife. Wait a minute. Is your husband or your wife your supply? No, your God is. Amen. We serve God, not our husbands and wives. You can believe God apart from your natural circumstances. Praise God. Just trying to help people. Is anybody being helped here tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Just trying to help you. It's a little treat for you from heaven. I remember I've had to do this several times with renewing my mind to things that were in my heart that I wanted and started to feel bad about, you know. Especially, I think, sometimes in ministry, you get so caught up with ministry and you see the importance of what people are going through that you think, man, there's really... You almost feel bad for having any fun in life or doing anything fun because, man, I'm sitting here, I could be praying. But the Bible invites us to do those things and enjoy it. He told the disciples, he said, to come away for some leisure time. He said, you don't even have as much leisure as to eat or to rest. He told them, you need to come away. Like, it's important to get away from the spiritual side of things and enjoy some rest and recreation. So he told the disciples. Amen. Praise God. So I've had to do this many times. How many of you know that? You have to renew your mind constantly to the Word. So even though I've had victories at times with things, we constantly have to renew our mind to the Word. That's why I truly believe that when you have turnover at a church like this, that people can go from being super excited about what you're saying, and you're saying the same things, and they become unexcited. It's because it was a failure to the continuing of renewing their mind. How can I get victory in this one time and then still deal with condemnation and guilt about the same stuff when back here the Word didn't change? It's because I failed to renew my mind. Got to keep renewing your mind. Brother Hagin would say this, the mind doesn't stay renewed any more than the hair stays combed. Every day, I mean, I'm so thankful for my hair gel. Because if not, you'd see colics. I mean, Caleb got his haircut today, and he said, I want this kind of haircut. And she said, Caleb, with your colics, won't work. And I went there the other day, and I said, you know, I want one of those fancy new modern haircuts that people have. I told her that. She said, Mike, not with your hair, you don't. She said, this is the best you're going to get for fancy and modern. Because my colics, I mean, they just shoot up everywhere. You wouldn't know what to do with my hair, you know. Not everyone can have hair like Vinny. You know, and just looks so pretty over there. I just want to touch it, you know. It looks so good, praise the Lord. I'm jealous, Vinny. I'm jealous, praise the Lord. I'm jealous. Maybe I should start believing for my colics to go away. I guess it's not that important to me to put my faith on, but anyways. So I've had to renew my mind to this over and over and over again. Bill's really jealous of you, Vinny. I love you. No problem, Bill. Hallelujah. Praise God. Actually, I'm jealous of Bill. Man, he doesn't ever have to comb his hair. I mean, he just wakes up and goes. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know I love you. We love the ones we pick on, don't we? Praise God. Hallelujah. That's what they used to say anyways. Hallelujah. I do love you. Hallelujah. Forgive me, Bill. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Anyways, Jim's happy. He's just not getting picked on tonight. But he's glad it's someone different. So I've had to renew my mind this over and over. I remember it was the weirdest thing, you know, hunting my whole life. I just had a desire for years to see black bears. And for, I don't know, 20-some years, never seen one in the woods. Finally, I started thinking, you know, it would really bless me if I could see a black bear in the wild. Maybe most of you are thinking, why would you want that? I did, you know, what really blessed me. We'd go for drives a lot of times, and we'd go for this one drive where you make this big loop around Onaville and go down through Frewsburg and come back up and go by some different things. And I always thought, man, how come I can't see a bear on this drive, you know, and I'm hunting all the time, I can't see a bear. I was like, I was so tempted. Oh, the Lord said, if I ask, I'll receive. And I thought, no, I'm not asking for that. That's the stupidest thing ever. There's people starving in Africa. There's people being tormented in China and things. You know, those are the thoughts that come in your head. You could be believing God for other things. And finally, I got the revelation. I got getting the word. And every once in a while, you know, because I truly believe the beginning of faith is knowing that God's good. Every once in a while, you need to just meditate on God's goodness in your life. It'll springboard you into things. It'll springboard you when you rest on how good He is and what He wants for you. And when you're suffering, knowing that He doesn't want that for you and He wants better for you. And so I just meditate on these same verses because these are where I go back to when I'm having trouble, you know, and just believe and going back to the basics. I thought, my God, He invited me to ask for things like this. So I said, Father, okay, you said faith will bring things my way. You told me to ask, so I'm asking. I want to start seeing black bears in the woods. And I'm not kidding you. Within 2 years' time, I had seen them. I think it was between 9 and 11 and hadn't seen them in 20 years. I was in my tree stand one time. It was the neatest thing. And a mom and two cubs came through. And the mom and the cubs came over, and they were at the bottom of my tree. And when you're hunting with a bow, you have a bow rope that hangs down. So you tie it up at the bottom of the tree. You get up in your tree, and you pull it up. Too, so you don't climb with it going in the tree. They came over and they were eating my bow rope. I thought, how am I going to get this bow out of the tree? But I'm just watching them at the bottom of my tree. I'm like, this is the neatest thing. One time I was hunting opening day of rifle season down in Pennsylvania. You can't shoot bears down there opening day of rifle deer season. And it was hunting in the hemlocks, and it had been raining, so it was real quiet that morning. And I'm standing with my back against a tree looking this way, and the wind's going this way. So anything behind me can't smell me. Everything out in front of me probably could. And I'm sitting there, and it's just about getting light outside to the point where you can just start to make things out. And all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, from me to this away, I notice this thing come moving, and I look over my shoulder like, oh my gosh, it's a black bear. And the thing walked from me to their way and walked, never knew I was there. I never heard it coming. I just saw it, and my heart, you know, started racing at first. So, oh my gosh. But then when it left, I just, Father, thank you so much. That's an experience that probably hardly anybody ever gets to have. And then, at 10:30 in the morning, a different one came through, and I got to see two that day. I mean, they were just coming out of the woodwork. It's the truth. It happened, praise God. And now I got one standing in my office. Woo, glory. Because I had a chance, and I got another one this year. I'm going to have one laying on my floor in my office. Praise God. I'm going to be seeing black bears every day. Praise the Lord. God's good, amen. He's good. Something so silly like that. That's not coincidence. It's not coincidence that 3-4 weeks later, after I believe for a hunting trip to the Midwest, this connection supernaturally comes. It's not a coincidence. I mean, I don't even know what my count is up to now. I actually saw one on the way to church here in Kennedy one day. I took the long way and saw one in Kennedy. I mean, they're just everywhere. I'm over 20 now since I asked him, which maybe was about 4 or 5 years ago now, I think. I'm not sure. But all those years in the woods, never seen one. And now I'm just seeing them all the time. It's awesome. God's so good. I got my faith on it and dared to ask Him. Ask and you'll receive. Knock and it'll be open. Praise God. So that's number one, the Father-Son relationship. Number two, He gave you Jesus. He said He'd give you all things. Number three, go to Psalms 37 and verse 4. Psalms 37 and verse 4. Oh, I see some people's wheels turning in here tonight. Ooh, I'm going to walk out of here different. I'm going to go after that house. I'm going to go after that car. I'm going to go after that wardrobe. I'm going to go after believing God for a baby. I'm going to go after believing God for a spouse. I'm going to go after these things that are important to me personally. I see the wheels turning. That's what this is meant to do. We'll turn your wheels, praise God. Psalms 37 and verse 4 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? The desires of your heart. Amen. So the last thing that pushed me over the edge was, Father, I have this crazy desire to archery hunt. I don't know why. Other people think I'm crazy, but I just love it. I find so much joy and peace in it. Just like maybe some of you, it's, you know, I have an uncle, he just loves trains. I'm like, in the world, why? Trains? But he loves them. Why? I don't know. It's just his thing, right? You have your thing. Everyone has their thing that they really enjoy doing, right? And so I said, Lord, if I'm going to do it, I have that desire. I want to do it in the best place possible, praise God. And I saw in the Word that the desires of my heart, it's his will to bring them to pass. And if you can find where it's God's will, the Bible says in 1 John 5 and verse 14, this is the confidence. Let's pull that up, Lynn, so people can see that. I'm not making this up. 1 John 5 and verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, what's his will? The desires of your heart. So when you ask the desires of your heart, you're doing verse 14. And then verse 15 says, 1 John chapter 5, 1 second, I want to make sure that gets up there. 1 John 5 and verse 14. Praise God. This is the confidence we have in him. That if we ask anything, anything that's his will. Well, now you just found in Psalms 37 that his will is your desires. You never seen it like that before. Never saw it like that before, did you? But it's the Word. Anything according to his will. Well, what's his will? He said, I want to bring the desires of your heart to pass. He hears us. Now, verse 15. And if we know he hears us, how do we know he hears us? If we ask according to his will. So when I say to him, Father, I desire to see more bears. Well, he hears, hey, that's a desire of my son's heart. It's not against the Word. It's not against, it's not immoral or wrong. That's a desire of his heart. I hear him. So I'm going to make it come to pass. When I say, Father, my desire in my heart is to have a hunting place in the Midwest. He hears me. Why? Because that's a desire of my heart. That's one of his wills. Amen. He hears us. Whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions we've desired of him. Amen. Well, remember, though, the hunting thing. Now, go back to Psalms 37 in verse 5. Psalms 37 and verse 5. So now you have a verse that tells you it's the Father's will to bring the desires of your heart to pass. It's his will. Psalms 37 and verse 5. Now this is what I want you to see though. Remember he said, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also him, and he shall bring it to pass. Well, 1 John 5 and verse 14 and verse 15 says, if you ask according to his will, he hears you, and if he knows you hear, you know you have the petitions that you desire. Well, we know with faith, just like the bears, I didn't wake up and see a bear the next day. I didn't all of a sudden wake up the next day and have a connection to the Midwest. Just like anything with faith, patience kicks in. Now here's what I want you to see to help you with this. There are times that when we ask for the desires of our heart, there's timing involved. Let me give you an example. You're believing God for the perfect spouse. Well, God knows who that person is on planet Earth. Well, sometimes that person on planet Earth lives in a different state, has a different job, isn't he on the scene yet? Or let's say you're believing God for the perfect home and you have qualifications. Well, maybe somebody, like in our case, we're believing God for a certain type of home. We're in the home that meets our needs and fulfills our desires and our joy, but there was someone living in it. So what my point is this. There are times we believe God for the desires of our heart. There are times that we believe God for the desires of our heart. What does he say to him here? Commit your way to the Lord. Think about people that are believing God for a baby. Lord, I trust you. I believe you. I'm committing my way. Is it God's will that you can have a baby? Absolutely. I commit my way unto you and I trust you. Well, God knows if you truly are surrendered to him, God knows the exact perfect time that would be the best time for that baby to come on the scene. He does. He knows exactly when. So my point is this. When you believe God for these things and it doesn't show up right away, it's not that it's not working. It's that God is working on it.
Amen. That's good.
Amen. Well, if it was His will, why doesn't it show up the next day? That's not how He does things. And it's not the fact that He's holding it and going like this to you and making you chase it down. No. There's a natural realm. There's hindrances in the natural realm. And also, the manifestation just isn't ready to be birthed yet for whatever reason. But it's never... See, when people say, hey, there's a God's timing, that's true, but most people say it from a slant of disbelief. Like, God's timing, God's just waiting you, making you wait for it. No. As soon as you believe for it, the thing starts moving in your direction. But God's got to do some working at times, and God knows the perfect timing for things to happen. Amen? I'm just going to go out and say this. I don't know if I've ever preached on this before. But when we had Abby, I had wanted a little girl and a second child for the longest time. But the Spirit, because I'm in tune with the Spirit, listen, I don't do anything unless it's God's will. I try to live that way. I'm not just going to go out and have a baby if it's not His will at that time. I know it's His will to have a baby, but how many of you know there's times when He knows it's better than not to have it? Now, you can go out and do things and make things happen your own way, but I want God's timing on things. And believe in God for a baby and just kept getting red light. Nope, now's not the time. Nope, now's not the time. Well, it looks like on the surface that God's doing this, but God knew exactly. If we'd had Abby in the house we were living in, the way that Abby is, they'd have had to condemn the house. Tear that thing down and put a foreclosure sign or something. I say that with sweet loving. I love the way, I wouldn't change her at all. I love her personality. Love it! She got a black eye from the dog who was playing. She didn't even know what happened, and then she saw it, and then she started crying. You know, she got a black eye. She came into church telling people Caleb hit her. She's always trying to get him in trouble and saying that he does stuff, telling fibs all the time, so I got to watch that, you know. But I love the way she is. I love that spunky feistiness, man. I'll tell you what, it's going to take a good guy to win her over. Praise the Lord. They're going to be trying, but she's going to just fight them off. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But anyways, believe in God. God specifically told me, now's the season. Now's the season. And it was simple. Now's the season. Well, people get a word from heaven on things. Amen. You're believing God for stuff. Well, get a word from God on it. But you know His desires. But when it's not showing up, you're believing God for a house. You're believing God for different things. Just because it's not showing up doesn't mean it's not working. It means that He's working on it. Amen. If you'll keep your faith on it, it will show up. But people drop things all the time because what if Abraham would have dropped it? 20 years, 25 years. When he was 75, he was told, you're going to have a son. It manifested when he was 100. Yeah. What if? Now, I know instantly people think, and this is what the devil will say, well, you're going to have to wait 25 years then. No, that doesn't mean that. Abraham's the father of our faith, and it was a lesson that proved to all of us, and there's some things there, doubt and unbelief, that were mixed in with Abraham. They both laughed at God. They went and did it their own way. So he wasn't this mighty man of faith through the whole process. But eventually he got into the part where he was fully persuaded and fully convinced. And he got it. He didn't let go of it. People let go. Don't let go. God's working on it. We'll close with this. Go to 2 Kings 4 and verse 8. A couple more verses. So remember, there is some timing issues. There's patience. The timing doesn't mean God's not on it. Well, I've been believing God for years. Well, yeah, but maybe the house that you're believing for hasn't even been built yet. Someone else is building it and paying for it, and you're going to be able to move right into that thing. You don't know. Just commit your way to Him and trust that He'll bring it to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Kings 4 and verse 8. We looked at this verse on Sunday. But I want to show you heaven's take on some things. 2 Kings 4 and verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. And there was a great woman, and she constrained him often to eat bread, and so it was that as he passed by and turned in there to eat bread, she said to her husband, I have perceived this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set it for them a bed, a table, a stool, a candlestick, and it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in there. And it fell on the day that he came there that he turned into the chamber and lay there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. Now this is what I want you to see. Here was a woman who did a good thing, right? She wasn't even a child of God. You're children of God. You're tithers. You're givers. You're faithful to show up. You serve in your local church. You live a life of holiness. You tell people about the Lord. You're doing good things for God. How much more should you get a blessing for doing the right thing and being a child of God than her? But here's a woman who wasn't even a child of God that did a, that was doing right things. And look what heaven's reaction was. Verse 13. Say now unto her, behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What is needs to be done for you, or what can we do for you? That's an order from heaven. He's saying, heaven is saying, we have to do something for this person. How much more is heaven? If you don't think you're in a better position than this Shunammite woman, you better go back and renew your mind to who you are in Christ. Amen. We are way better positioned than her. We're children. She was a servant. Yeah. Amen. This was one act of goodness. We're constantly doing good things for God. You say, well, really, should we talk about our works? Isaiah 43, verse 25 says, I, even I, and he that blotteth out thy sins and transgressions for my own sake, I will not remember sins. Verse 26 says, put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou thou mayest be justified. Verse 26 in the Amplified says, put me in remembrance. Parentheses, remind me of your merits. Bring to God what you're doing good. Yeah. Amen. Lord, I see you bless this woman. I'm a sower. I'm a giver. I honor financially. I tithe. I serve in my church. I'm walking holy and doing the word, Father. Absolutely. You're darn right. How much more for us doing right things than this woman? But heaven's reaction to her was, we got to bless her. We got to bless her. We got to do something for her. You've been careful for all his cares. What would be done for you? Do you want to be spoken of to the king? That's not a minor thing. Or the captain of the host? She answered, no, I dwell among my own people. He said, what is to be done for her? Heaven said, we got to do something for her. That's what heaven's saying to you. Amen. We got to bless them. They're my children. They're my children. I'm always trying to think of ways to bless him and to bless Abby. Why? I'm dad. She has no child, Gehazi said. Her husband has always said, call her. When she had called her, he stood in the door. He said, about this season, according to the time of life, you will embrace a son. And we know she did. Amen? But my point is, heaven's desire to bless her with something important to her, how much more is heaven's desire to bless... Jesus didn't die for her. She's already dead and gone before Jesus died on the cross. She's already dead and gone. Jesus died for you and me. God didn't make her a child of God back then. He made us a child. He adopted us into the family. Amen. You got to know that heaven's desiring to meet your needs. It's God's will. Didn't he say, commit and I'll bring it to pass, the desires of your heart? Just as much as you would say, I know it's God's will that people be saved, it's just as much his will to have the desires of your heart met. His will is his will. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, and that's the last verse we're going to go to. Get over this religious thinking that you can't have anything, that it's got to be hard all the time, that those things that, you know, you have a desire in there for to see someplace in the world, to go somewhere, to have something, a blessing. Get it out of your head that you can't have that. Charge them that are rich in this world, 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they not be high-minded nor to trust in uncertain riches. But in the living God, now look at what it says about God here. In the living God, who what? Giveth us richly all things. What's an all thing for me? Hunting is an all thing. He didn't give me hunting so I would feel guilty about doing it. Now, there's a balance, right? Sometimes these blessings become weights. And doesn't the Bible say, let us throw aside every sin and the weight that so easily besets us? Hunting at one time in my life became a weight. It pulled me away from the things of God. It pulled me away financially from doing the right things. Well, but it doesn't have to be a weight. In fact, when I've given it to God and put God first, I've got more animals on my wall and seen more things and done more things than I ever did when I tried to make it happen myself. Isn't that funny how when you seek first the kingdom, stuff gets added to you? All things richly to enjoy. All things. Those things that you have desires of, God's put them on the earth for you to enjoy them. Don't feel bad about them. Don't feel bad about them. Don't feel bad about reaching for what you're believing God for. It's His will. Amen? Amen? So He's Dad, it's a word all, and it's His desire to meet your needs. My goodness, what a treat heaven gave us tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we love You tonight. We praise You. We bless You. We're going to renew our mind to this, Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. We bless You, Lord. We honor You and magnify You. Let's praise Him tonight. We thank You, Lord. We thank You. I just dare you right now in your praise to Him to start to actually bring that thing to the surface and say, Lord, I know You want that for me. I dare you. I dare you to do what I did with the hunting thing. I dare you to do what I did with the bear thing. To actually take something that would seem so unimportant in the kingdom, but it's important to You, which now you know it's important to God. I dare you to say, Father, I know You want it for me. I'm going to believe You for it. I'm going to reach for it. Let's praise Him. I believe You. I believe You, Father. It'll come to pass. The very desires of my heart will come to pass. The very things that I'm believing You for, they will come to pass, Father. Why? Because they're important to me, which makes them important to You. I trust You, Father. I commit my ways unto You, Father. I commit my ways unto You, and You'll bring it to pass. I don't even have to try to figure out how it's going to happen. You're going to bring it to pass when I commit it unto You. So I thank You for it, Lord. I thank You for it, Father. I thank You for it, Father. I thank You for it. It comes to pass. I thank You, Lord. We praise You for it. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, I know everybody in here is born again. But by chance, if somebody's listening now or in the future, and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, Jesus is the greatest gift ever. He'll meet every single need of yours, first and foremost, spiritually and eternally. Heaven is a simple place to get to. The world says it's hard, but the Bible says it's easy. The Bible says all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus. Well, to call on the name of Jesus, you have to have two qualifications. You have to actually believe in Him. And number two, you actually have to want to call on Him. Well, if you're listening to me right now, you could say, I've never called on Jesus, but I do believe in Him. I do believe He died and rose again. I do want Him into my life. Just simply say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe You died, rose again. Come into my heart. If you prayed that prayer, let us know. Shoot us an email. Give us a phone call, whatever. Come visit the church. We'll get you hooked up in a Bible-teaching church where you can learn all the good things that God has for you. Let's praise Him one more time. Let's make sure we're done tonight. Father, thank You. It matters to You, Lord, it matters to You that I go on that hunting trip. It matters to You. Yeah, because I'll tell you, one of the things that I thought of other things, but one of the things that I can mention, and I'm going to tell you all my business, but was a certain hunting trip and where I want to go. He wants that for me. What's in your head? A car? A house? A vacation? He wants it for you. He wants it for you. Praise God. We love You, Father. Thank You for our mail tonight. Oh, what a gift wrap blessing this was tonight. We thank You for it and we praise You. Father, I don't have anything else in my heart, so I'm going to disconnect right there. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, don't forget, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, you are dismissed. All the earth, come alive, lift your eyes to the